experience Him, and that experiencing Him would lead to knowing Him. Amen? That experiencing Him would lead to knowing Him. Y'all turn in your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 24. Y'all remind me to catch some announcements at the end of the service. I hope it's so rowdy we don't get to, and just we have to do it with email. Everybody, y'all read your emails when you get those every week, okay? And it keeps you up to speed on what's going on. And if you're on the text list, then look at that. I get on some funky text list. I don't know how I get on some of those. I'm on a text list with another church that I have no idea how I got on it. I'm on some text list with some bars in Atlanta, and Friday night's the bomb, and this is going on and on. And I'm like, how did I get on that? I'm serious. It just pops up on Friday evening. I'm like, Terry Hagen must have done that and set me up. And I believe she did. That sounds like Terry, doesn't it, Randy? That sounds like her, you know. Because it's not, those texts are not even my ethnicity. You know, I mean, it's not, man. It's just like, you know, where did that come from? And I'm like, Terry Hagen, it is. But I encourage you to stay engaged and made aware of what all is going on. A lot of good stuff's happening right now. Just so encouraged as you know, we hear of the impact in the kingdom that's happening in around in other people's lives and around the globe, and part of it's with us. I get encouraged every week with people coming in and they're like, man, so and so's been listening to y'all's podcast, and so that's awesome for that. If people are tapping into our podcast and hopefully hearing what God's doing here and in the culture that He's trying to create in us and through us. I've been doing a study recently, just kind of accidentally. I knew at some point the Lord would have us do this, but I wasn't expecting it right now. But we've been doing a study for the last several weeks on honor, and it's just been some really, really good stuff. One of the visitors that was with us Wednesday night after church, he's like, man, I just want to run to the gym right now. You know, I feel like just pumping a bunch of weight and all that stuff. He was real fired up. He was pumped up about it. And I was like, man, that's cool. That's awesome. And, you know, just let God just stir and move. And so we've been doing a study on honor. And we've talked about us learning to honor ourselves and then us teaching others to honor. Today I want to kind of tie things up and finish this up. It may branch on into Wednesday night, but I want to try to be done before Wednesday. I want us to talk this morning on honoring for others. Honoring for others. And this is twofold. Number one, it's honoring for others when they don't yet understand or know how to honor. And when I say that, I'm talking about the levels that God wants us to take us to. The example that we're going to use in this is in 1 Samuel 24 and David and him teaching his mighty men. He had 600 men that were following him at this time, not to mention their families. So you can imagine the gathering, the tribe that God had brought into David's life. And they understood honor. And the reason I say they understood honor, one of the examples I always love is when David, he has not yet been established as king. He's being hunted by Saul and all of this. And he's sitting there and he's longing for a simpler time. And he's longing to go back to a place of simplicity and rest and peace and all of that. And he begins to say, man, if I just had a drink from the well in Bethlehem, and how that would so soothe me and satisfy my soul. And he was longing for that. He wasn't asking anybody to do that. But he was just longing for that. He said, man, that's a place of simplicity for me. That's a place before all of this chaos started happening on. And some of his mighty men went behind enemy lines and got him water from that well and brought it to him just because they loved him and just because they wanted to minister to him and bless him. They risked their lives for some water. And it wasn't like he was thirsty and he was dying, but he longed for something. And they risked everything for that. And so I know they understood about honor. I believe they understood the brotherhood of battle. I believe they understood the brotherhood of no man left behind and the brotherhood of I'll take one for my brother. They understood that honor. But How many of you know that in our lives, God wants to teach us deeper and deeper and larger levels of honor? And that's the journey that I'm on right now. I'm praying right now, God, teach me, let me be on this journey of honor to where I understand and I know and I go to the deeper levels of honor. And so part of this is honoring for others, and that doesn't mean that you're not without honor, but sometimes we don't understand the levels of honor, okay? I tell you how the Lord really sparked this in my life, and if you were here Wednesday night, you heard me say this, but I was thinking about when I was teaching a few Wednesday nights ago, and we were talking about honor. I was thinking about my grandson, Zealand, and our farm and everything, and in putting food plots out for deer over the years, I found some arrowheads there. And just real cool. Some of them are just like, I mean, awesome, like great-looking arrowheads, nearly perfect. I know Courtney used to have a huge collection of arrowheads and may still have a lot of them, but that he had found on his grandfather's land. But I just found that it was very, very unique and very cool that the Indians used to live on our land. And I can imagine, you know, if it's, and I found more than one in this area, so it had to be a camp, and it might have been where kids were practicing to make arrowheads, and their dad was like, eh, that ain't too good, and threw it down. And I thought, this is awesome, I can picture them killing a deer with this. And the dad's like, nah, you got to go back to the drawing board, son. But regardless, it represented a people that were here hundreds of years before I was. And Zealand, being my four-year-old grandson, he's all about pirates and Indians and cool stuff like that, you know. And he's everything he got is a sword in his hand. Doesn't matter what he's got, it's a sword. And so, you know, I was showing he and Sidney Hanna one day, and I was like, hey, man, look at these arrowheads. And this, the Indians used to live here on our farm and all of this stuff. And they'd look at them, and that was cool and all of that stuff. He just thought it was cool because they were Indian arrowheads. To me, it went a lot deeper than that because I was honoring a people that lived here way before me. That lived here way before Christopher Columbus set foot on soil in 1492. And, you know, especially with the, I know we had Creek and Cherokee, but especially the Cherokee to establish their own alphabet and all of that stuff. Just really, really just a amazing people. And so I was, but Zealand is four, and so he's not at the point of honoring a culture that was here 300 years ago. He just thinks it's cool because this Indian shot this at something. And so, you know, one day when I die, Zealand or the grandkids or some of them, I don't know. I mean, you know, they're going to get all my stuff. Well, one thing they'll get is the arrowheads. And whoever winds up with those arrowheads, I hope it's important to them that they're like, man, this is cool and this is significant. And I'm honoring the people that were here before us, hundreds of years before us. Zealand's not at the point of honoring at that level. Someday, Zealand or some of the grandkids, I'm not saying Zealand's getting everything because he's a boy, that would be like jacked up, but y'all get what I'm saying. Someday he'll get that, and hopefully he'll have a level of honor and respect, but today's not that day. So I let him hold the arrowheads and look at the arrowheads, but guess what happens to the arrowheads when it's time to leave? They don't go in his pocket. I get them back. Because he's not mature enough to have the proper level of honor, because I guarantee you they'll get lost somewhere just like all of his little Ninja Turtle men. And they'll wind up in a vehicle or wind up in a field or wind up by the barn or something like that. And so right now I have to honor for him because he's not able to honor at that level. And so I want us to understand about honoring for others. Because I want to tell you something, God honored for us way before we were able to honor anything. God honored for us way before we were able to honor for anything. And so I want to talk about that, honoring for others. And then if we get there, I want us to talk about honoring for those that are not willing to honor. And that's a big part of this faith journey that we're on. The Word says it's easy for us to love those that love us. It said the heathen do that. But he said, a mark of my disciples is you'll love those that despise you. You'll love those that mistreat you. You'll love those that abuse you. Jesus typified this when he was hanging on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, I would probably be shooting out vile and everything else about him, you know. I'd be like, yeah, you're going to get yours one day, buddy, because my dad's going to get you, and you're going to spend eternity in hell, and you're going to rot for what you're doing and all that. And he's sitting here trying to honor them to a place of them coming to know Father God and maybe getting into heaven one day. And so he was honoring when at a level that is way beyond where I'm at. And I think part of this journey in life, I know that part of this journey in life is not only honoring for others, but it's also honoring those that are not willing to honor themselves. They have no honor in them, but we can honor for them. And so we're going to, if we get that far, we'll see the story of that tonight, or this morning. I want us to consider one verse of Scripture. Y'all hold 1 Samuel 24. I'm going to read one verse that the Lord really dropped in my spirit that I feel like goes with this. And that's going to be in Galatians 5. But hold what you've got. I'll just read this to you, okay? Take me but a second here. It's Galatians 5, and it's verse 13. He says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty." You've been given freedom. The Word says, for freedom we've been set free. So we're given freedom, we're given liberty. And it says, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So you've been given freedom, but don't use that to an occasion to your flesh, but by love serve one another. I had the most awesome day yesterday. A lot of times my Saturdays are qualified by how productive they are. It's kind of a blessing / curse that I've got going on in my life, and it's it was thanks to my parents, they put that on me. And then spending a life in manufacturing and trying to learn to be as productive as possible is just really ingrained this in me. And like I said, it's a blessing curse thing that I've got going on, because I don't know how to be still and do nothing if I'm not out of state or out of country. But yesterday I had the most awesome day, and 75% of the day was not doing anything that pertained to me. It was serving others. And we got up yesterday morning, and I cooked Lori breakfast because we hadn't got to do that in several weeks, and I cooked her breakfast and all that, and then went and we had these two really big brush piles and all of these tree limbs and all this stuff that had been broken down by storms right behind Leah and Brett's house. And so we pretty much spent a good portion of the day burning those brush piles and getting all of that took care of, and it looks tremendously better and all of that stuff. And so we were out there and we were giving ourselves to that and everything. And when we got done with that, then or didn't get done, I told the kids, I said, "These fires still be burning tonight," and they were. And we came in, and I'm like, "Well, okay, man, I need to cut grass and all that stuff, and my lawnmower's in the shop." And so I asked Brett, I said, "Man, hey, man, can I borrow your lawnmower so I can cut my grass?" And Brett winds up cutting my grass for me. And so I'm like, "Man, well, that's cool. I appreciate it. And if you're going to cut my grass for me, I'm going to go over to Mom's and I'm going to go do work at her house, because she's got this tree that had been down there all summer, and I've been very slothful on getting it up because I detested the idea of getting that one particular tree up because it was covered in poison. And it was just an old nasty apple tree and all of that stuff. And it was just from the pit of hell." And so I spent the afternoon getting that up and getting it hauled off and everything good so we can cut grass there and all this. And at the end of the day, we were just kind of sitting out on the basketball court, and the grandkids were running around, and Leah Brett had been doing some things and came up, and I'm like, "Man, we had the best day today." And I realized in me having the best day today, about 75% of it was doing stuff for others. And I had others doing for me. Brett cut my grass. It's awesome. Y'all notice it tonight. It looks way more better when y'all come over to my house. You'd be like, "Yeah, dang, he did. It looks good." But I realized about 75% of my day was in serving others. And it was so gratifying. It was so satisfying in giving ourselves to help others. Now, in this case, I was helping those that I love. But when we help those that we don't know, when we honor those that can't honor back or can't help back or can't do back or can't return the favor and all of that stuff, then even takes it to another level. And I want us to be a people that our culture and our DNA is to serve. It's to minister. It's to love. And as people come through these doors, they get ministered to. They get loved. Not talking about just the Blake House guys, but the visitors. We had three guys visiting with us Wednesday night, and it was just great to see them. I knew Steve, but I didn't know the other two guys. Leo had gave me a heads up. They're probably going to be coming. and said, I've been listening to some podcasts. And so they came, and it was just, you know, it was just so powerful Wednesday night and so good and just so, yay, God. But I want us to be a people that our children grow up learning to serve. Casey, you're going to Honduras, and you're not going down there to hang at the beach. I don't know if y'all have any free time. But I promise you, as you go down there and you serve and you minister and y'all do these things that y'all have planned to do, you're going to realize that as a child of God created in His image, that's your DNA. And you'll be amazed at how gratifying and how self-satisfying that it is, because that is your DNA. And I just want us to be this people and this, and David had this. Here's the thing, guys, is the Word says that David was a man after God's heart, and we just think that was because David was this cool worshiper. It was a thing where David understood that all of this is bigger than I am, and I'm here to serve a people. I'm here to help make a people great. I'm here to help protect a people. I'm here to minister to a people. I'm here to advance the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Yahweh, through His chosen people. And that's why he didn't rush the agenda. Because he understood, I'm here to serve, and I'm here to minister. And I'm sure there were times where he got antsy, and he's like, okay, guys, this has been years and years and years, God. I want to say there was like 14 years from when it all started until he actually became king, even over Hebron. I think it was a 14-year period. Some of y'all think because God hadn't answered your prayer in 14 days that God's not, He's holding out on you. Come on. This is like a 14-year process, but through the whole process, David understood the fact that I am settled and I'm established in Yahweh and I know His kiss is on my life. The greatest thing about what I talked about a while ago with the disciples in the upper room as Jesus came in John 20 was the fact that they knew that they were established and settled in God. His breath was on them. I mean, He comes in right here and He breathes on them and He says, receive you the Holy Ghost. So my peace I give to you. And He's wanting them to be established and wanting them to be settled in His DNA. And their lives were about to be all about, how can I serve my fellow man? How can I go out here and impact society? How can I go out here and make a difference in people's lives? And that's part of the transformation that's taking place in me right now. And God's, I'll just be honest with you guys, God's bringing me out of a place of uncertainty and hurt into a place of where I have never loved the body more than I love the body right now. I'm serious in that. I have never loved I have never loved God's children and God's body more than I have right now at this moment in my life. And it's something that God's just been doing recently. You know, y'all think I've always been like this? I hadn't. God's doing something in that. And man, these children that are running around, and I just get, as my dad got older, he got softer, and he man, just so tender-hearted. I mean, he wouldn't even kill a possum in his yard. He'd find a 5-gallon bucket and try to figure out how to get it, and you know, if there was something bad, he'd call Errol and get her to come shoot it for him or something. They would. He's like, here's this giant arrow. He called her up one time and said, there's this giant snapping turtle in the pasture, and we need to get rid of it. I mean, I'm serious, one of them big boys, huge ones, you know. And so, you know, and he's just got so tender-hearted, he didn't want to kill nothing, Randy. You know, and he's like, but arrow wheels, he'll bust a cap in it. She's like, yeah, no problem. Let me get my gun. And I'm going to keep killing stuff because I'm a big protein guy. But God wants us to get so tender for those that are around us and the ones that He's connected us with and the ones we don't even know. And the strangers and the visitors and all of these chance encounters in our life. And if we can create a culture of honor, then we're getting closer to the heart of God. Because that's what He's saying in Galatians 5:13 right here. He said, God's given you liberty so that you can serve. He said, all the law hinges on this, love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, all the law hinges on this, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I want us to, basically he's saying in this, you study the Greek on that, on to serve, you know what it means to be a slave. Neither he's saying, I've set you free so you can be a slave. But here's the cool thing about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I'm a slave to Christ. He even wore an earring because they're back in that culture in that day, that these slaves that were free slaves, but they served by their own will and by their own accord, they wore an earring that signified, I'm a slave by choice because I love my master and I love what he's done. And so he wore an earring that signified that and symbolized that and everything. So, you know, I'm not an earring guy, but I'm just saying in the culture. And God set us free so that we can be slaves. Y'all remember the movie The Patriot and the slave that got indebted into helping them in the cause on The Patriot? Y'all remember that? Did anybody in there watch movies besides me? You remember the African-American man and his owner said, I'm too old to serve, but I'll give you my slave and he can serve in my stead. And there was a thing, an order by Continental Congress that said that all slaves, if they served in the army for, and you're a history teacher, Nick, was it 12 months? It was 12 months. If you came and you served for 12 months, basically by you serving 12 months, then you had your freedom. You earned your freedom in that. And I love this line in the movie, and they were about to come in into this battle, and it was a significant battle that was going to really change the war in the South, okay? The Battle of Cowpens, I believe, is the battle that was about. They don't say it in the movie, but it was the Battle of Cowpens up in the Carolinas. And they were about to engage in this battle. And this guy that had been very bigoted toward him about the fact that he was a slave and all of this stuff, but he had grown to respect and honor this guy. He looks over at him and he said, what month is it? And he said, what month it was? And he said, well, your 12 months is up. He said, you're free now. He said, I'm here on my own accord by now. And so I'm a slave to Christ by my own accord. I'm a slave to the gospel by my own accord. I'm a slave to the gospel because it set me free. And because it set me free, I choose to give my life to it. And I choose to give my life to His kingdom. And I choose my life to give my life to His people. Amen. And I pray that we would have that place of honor and that place of it's the heathen do that for their families. And it starts with my family. But I want it to extend out. I want it to extend out. So let's, with that introduction, let's just read some scripture in here. Let's bounce down to, did I tell y'all 1 Samuel 24? Let's look at 1 Samuel 24. We're going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Remember, at this time, Saul is the king of Israel. God has taken his hand off Saul, but he has not sealed the deal. I mean, as far as when I say sealed the deal, he hadn't closed the book on him. He hadn't closed the book on him and taken him out yet. He was still sitting at the throne by God's mercy and God's grace, although God had rejected him. He was in this transition period. I personally think God was still doing some things in David. A lot of you can't wait for your ascent. You can't wait for your ascent, and you're like, God, if you'll just get this person out of my way, or if you'll get this thing out of my way, then I can sit where I'm supposed to sit and where I know you called me to sit. But God will delay your ascent to that position and will not remove that position, that person from that position until you are ready for that. And God will speak a word over us, but we're not ready for it yet. We're not ready for the fruition of the word. I didn't say we're not ready for the word, but we're not ready for the fruition of the word. God will speak things to us, and God will declare things about us. One of the hardest things as a Christian is trying to understand the timing and embracing the timing on this stuff in our life. And so David has been anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel. Just sometimes God's answer to us is not yet in our pleadings. Yes, but not yet. Yes, but not yet. And so Saul is on the throne. Saul, you know, when God's hand comes off, evil spirits come in. You say, man, I got all this going on in my life, and I just feel like I'm tormented in this, and I'm dealing with this, and I'm dealing with this. You know what the answer is? Get God's breath on your life more. Get God's presence on your life more. Get God's spirit blowing in your life more. Press into Him, and it is impossible for the two to coexist. The Word says daylight and darkness cannot coexist. And so we need to come in and we need to press into Him more. And so David is in this process in his life. And Saul is hunting David, and David is on the run, and he's living in the wilderness. And David has 600 men that God has sent to him, and these men are attracted to David. These men are settled with David. These men will eventually become David's mighty men in his kingdom of Israel. Very, very powerful men. The Benaiahs and all of these guys. In a pit with a lion on a snowy day. All of these jokers, this was their origin. Okay? This is their origin. And so they're following David, and David is on the run from Saul. And it says in verse 2, then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. So David's in hiding out in this wilderness area. They're upon the rocks of the wild goats. You ever seen any sheep hunting? It's in the most rugged and extreme places. It's not in the inhabitable places. That's where David was hiding, in these uninhabitable places. Sometimes God will carry you to an uninhabitable place so He can do a work in you. And he came in, and he says, verse 3, and he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. What's the odds of this, guys? They're out looking for David in this wilderness area. Saul has got to use the restroom. I mean, you know, this is what he's got to do. I'm editing right now because we're on podcast. I love the prissy King James language. He went in to cover his feet. So he goes into the very cave that David and this select group of men, I don't think all 600, but David and a select group of men were in this very cave that King Saul goes into. Now, is that dumb luck or is that providence of God? Yes. No, it's not dumb luck. It's providence of God. And so he comes into this, and look at verse 4. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Now, you've got these mighty men that are with David that are great warriors. And they understand that God's kiss is on David's life. They understand that God's hand is on David's life. And they're sitting here, and basically they're coming in and they're saying, this is the day that the Lord spoke of. They're quoting Scripture, Eric. I mean, they're saying, dude, this is what it says in Psalm 14, before Psalm 14 was written. This is what it's saying, man. This is the day that God promised, I'm going to deliver your enemy into your hands, and you can do with them whatever you want to, because I'm delivering them into your hands. This is a divine opportunity. And it was a divine opportunity. But it was a divine opportunity to teach others how to honor. And they're sitting here thinking that we're going to do the right thing. And they were great warriors, but they did not yet understand the heart and the ways of God. Not in that place of fullness. Because they're coming in and saying, dude, this has got to be a God thing. And it was a God thing. But it was a God thing to teach honor. And so they come in and they say, here it is, go kill him. We got you. Ain't nobody going, go kill him. This is God. This is your opportunity. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. I don't understand what all was going on in David's mind right here. Obviously, he was conflicted. It's kind of like, I'm going to go over and kill him, and he gets over to him, and he says, I can't kill him. So, I'm just going to cut the corner of his robe off. Because I want him to know I could have killed him. And that's a pretty jam-up thing, right? All of us applaud him for that. Ryan, if I did that, I'd be like, yes, I'm the man. Because I acted honorably, and I heard from God, and all of this stuff. And I'm sure his disciples, I'm sure his mighty men were sitting here and they're saying, dude, what are you doing? We've been on the run. We've been living up here where the wild goats stay. And this is our opportunity, because if you kill him, then we can take the kingdom. And I'd much rather live in Hebron than I had up here where the wild goats stay. And it says in verse 5, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words. and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, now this is from a distance. I don't think they were talking like Rhett and I are talking right here. This is from a distance. I believe when him and his guard had gotten off a certain space between them, that he began to cry out to him. And he came in and he said, and when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but my eyes spared thee and said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. See, I want to tell you this, guys. Not only was he coming in and honoring, not only was he coming in and teaching his men to honor, he was also teaching King Saul about a higher level of honor. He was also teaching the soldiers that were following Saul, because there was 3,000 soldiers that followed Saul that were the chief ones that were not with David. They were the chief ones that Saul had. The second time he went out for him, he carried 3,000. So he's carrying these mighty men that he has with him. And not only is David teaching honor to his men, but he's teaching honor to his enemy. He's teaching honor to his enemy. I was listening to Irwin McManus this week, and he was talking about a revolution of service. And he was talking about some things that God's just been doing and stirring in him and all of this. And he said, man, I was in the store the other day, and he said there was this elderly couple, and he said the lady was very frail and all of this stuff, and she was trying to buy a coffee pot, and she had burnt her daughter-in-law's coffee pot up and nearly caught the kitchen on fire and all of this stuff. Long story short, she didn't have enough money to buy the coffee pot, and she said, would y'all have any other options for me and all of this stuff? And Irwin was in the line next to him and all of that, and he said, I just spoke over to the cashier and said, I want to buy the coffee pot. And the cashier had said, well, if you're like our rewards customer and got your little card, you can get it at this kind of discount. And she didn't have that, and he said, I'll pay for it. And the little checkout person was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. He said, no, I'm not talking about using my reward card so she'll get a discount. I want to buy it. And said the little clerk was like, actually shouted out to one of his superiors that was a clerk and says, he can't do that, can he? Irwin said, I held up cash and said, I want to buy the coffee pot for her. He said, I got out of my line and went over there and said, put the money down and said, I want to buy her coffee pot. Of course, the elderly woman was like, oh, you don't have to do this. And all of a sudden he says, I want to do it. God put it in my heart to do this. Who is he teaching a higher level of honor to right here? Everybody. Man, he was teaching. His wife was standing right there. She's awesome in her own right, but his wife was standing there. Their cashier, the person behind him that's like, okay, what's going on? I'm just ready to check out. All I want to do is get this and go. The clerk over here that did not understand that she can't even do that, can she? Dude, I just want to buy something for her. And so we're teaching honor on multiple layers to multiple people out there. And David's coming in and he says, I want to teach a higher level. I want God to teach me a higher level of honor. And as he teaches me a higher level of honor, then I can in turn teach those around me a higher level of honor. And it might be that my enemies, adversaries, okay, I know we don't like to think that we have, there are people that don't like you. I know it's shocking. I know it's, let me get over here to my friend. I know it's shocking. I know. Revelation today. Some of them may work with you. Some of them may work with you. Just saying. But I can teach them a different culture. I can teach them a thing of Jesus said, even the heathen love those that love them, but I can teach you to love your enemy if you had any. We were just speaking hypothetically. Right? That other coach that you disagree with and you don't like, and he really doesn't like you. He thinks my life would be so simpler if Nick White would take a job at Central or somewhere else. But you come in and you can teach him another level of honor. Another level of love. Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by what? By the love that you have for one another. So if I can come in and I can say, God, teach me so I can teach these. You know what this was? This was a learning lesson for David also. Because David, when he went out, I believe he went out with the intent from the good advice and pressure from his friends. And I'm going to go out here and I'm going to kill Saul. And my problems will be over. Because this is something God's done for me. And God says, nope. When he went out there, God started speaking to his heart, I believe. And he wound up just cutting his robe off because I want to prove a point here. And then God even convicted him for that. We would think we were a champion by just cutting his robe off. And God said, I even want to convict you for that. We see in a couple other chapters later on that there was a similar situation where Saul would come out again. Now, I'm not, for time's sake, and I know we're running late today, and for time's sake, promise me I'd like to teach for about 2 more hours on this, but for time's sake, what happened on this was David cried out to Saul, and he said, see this, look at your robe, it's cut off, and here's a piece of your robe. And I could have killed you because God delivered you into my hand. But he says, I'm not going to touch God's anointed. And he said, if God wants to judge between me and you, then I'm going to leave that up to God. But I'm not going to take it into my own hands right now. When God's through with you, God will take you out of your position. If you have to self-promote yourself in business, in church, in life, before your wife, before your family, if you have to self-promote yourself, you will have to continue to self-promote yourself your whole life to maintain that position. But when God promotes you and God elevates you and God settles you and God puts you in that place, we were just talking this week, Brett, about your brother and the promotions that he's been getting and all, and he's just doing really, really well in this company that he works for. And you made a statement, and you said, man, he must be doing some things right. He must be really good because they're approaching him. It's not like he's out there trying to do all of this, you know, stuff. And when it happens like that, when we get the favor like that, then you know what we can say? We can say, God is establishing me. Because David, remember what I said Wednesday night when David was sitting there and he was thinking about bringing the Ark of the Covenant in? It said when he had that moment where he said, you know what? I perceive that God has established me as king over Israel. This is way on past this. So God moved in his heart. He had that aha moment that, you know what? God's kiss is on my life. And God's put me in this place. And God's established me. And when he does that, you don't have to press everybody else down to maintain your position. You can say, God put me here, and if I follow Him with my whole heart, then it's up to Him to keep me here. And when you get settled like that in life, it's a place of peace. When you get settled in a place of life, that in life, it is not establishing a pecking order. You don't have to worry about somebody supplanting you or circumventing you. You come in here and you can say, God put me in this place and He's the only one that can take me out of this place. And you, when you're in that place, you don't worry about your friends being blessed more than you. You can actually celebrate with them. You don't have Facebook envy. You don't have to put 5,000 selfies of yourself on there to show everybody how blessed you are or how awesome you are. Heard one sociologist say that the everybody taking these selfies on Facebook and putting it on Facebook all the time is a people that have lost their identity and they're trying to find their identity. So I'm not hating if you've got a selfie stick. I'm just saying take pictures of other people with you and not just of yourself. We know the types. I'm sorry, I regressed. Where were we at? I was talking about God establishing us. And when God establishes you and God places you, and you have in your heart to honor Him, and when you have in your heart to honor Him and His ways and His heart, then it's going to be a horizontal thing also. And I want you to get this thing is hugely horizontal. It's not just vertical. Because I know a lot of people, then they want to have vertical honor and have no horizontal honor. And I will say this, that you cannot have vertical honor if you don't have horizontal honor. The word's pretty simple and pretty plain where he comes in and he says that you cannot love God if you don't love your brother. He said, how can a man love God who he has not seen if he hates his brother who he has seen? And if I have no horizontal honor toward you, then I promise you I can't have proper. I have a facade of vertical honor. If I can't honor you, I promise you, then I cannot honor vertically. And I want us to be a people that are so aware of horizontal honor that what it does is it amplifies and sets up freedom for vertical honor. Y'all understand what I'm saying about horizontal honor and vertical honor? Everybody getting that? I don't want to insult y'all's intelligence. Because I'm thick sometimes. It takes me a while. And this is what I see in David. To his men, it seemed that God had delivered Saul into David's hands. They were great warriors, but were not mature enough spiritually to understand God and his ways. David showed mercy to Saul and honor to God in sparing Saul's life. He and his company were blessed because of this. Teaching a higher level of honor. That's what this is about this morning. A higher level of honor. A higher level of honor. And I want to say this, and I'll close with this, and we'll talk about. I've got one more Wednesday night before I'm not going to be here for a couple services. So we'll talk about Abigail and Nabal Wednesday night. All right, y'all come out Wednesday night. We'll talk about Abigail and Nabal and honoring for people that don't even desire to honor. But I want to close with this, and I really want you to get this: is that I cannot teach or exemplify. Listen to me, I cannot teach or exemplify a higher level of honor unless God carries me into a place to where I understand a higher level of honor. Okay? I cannot teach or exemplify. Jesus said, don't just do it in theory. Just don't do it in words. But do it in deeds. And unless I understand and God teaches me, then I can't teach it and exemplify it. You can't do it with your daughters unless God does it in you first, brother. Okay? David could not expect. One reason I think Uriah was the man that Uriah was because he spent years with David. Y'all know who Uriah was. Is Bathsheba's husband that David wound up murdering because he had an affair with Bathsheba, and we could suggest as far as to saying he raped her and got her pregnant, and so he killed her husband, who was wound up being way more noble than he was. But I want to suggest to you know where he got that nobility? By hanging around David in the wild places. It wouldn't be far-fetched to think that Uriah was one of those that said, go kill him. God did this for you. He delivered him in your hands. And David said, I cannot touch God's anointed. And I'm not above kingdom. And I'm not above what he does. I'm not above his heart. And so he got God. David got God. He had those lapses, but he got God. He understood God. And he taught it to a people. And his people were then able to teach it and exemplify it. Because a lot of these 600 men, they were the Benaiahs. They were the Uriahs. They were these great men. But when they came to him, you know what they were? They were just a ragtag bunch of outlaws. You look at the way the word describes David's mighty men when they came to him, and it said all those that were outside of the law. They were the good old boys that did not mind getting in a scuff and did not mind being on the other side of the law and all that. And God sent them to David, and David raised up a company of men that would forge the backbone of a nation from a military standpoint. But it was an honor thing. And David had to learn it first. So, in this journey of honor, now go ahead and stand your feet. In this journey of honor, I don't want you to ever think that you've reached the ceiling of this. Because that's where we get guilty of. We will, because I swear to y'all, I've got limits still. I still got lids. Because I've kind of got some list things, you know, and if it's like, well, if this happened, then there ain't no way, dude. I mean, I'm like, and God said, I want to take you to a higher place. And I want to teach you a higher level of love. And I want to teach you a higher level of grace. And I want to teach you a higher level of mercy. Some of you guys may have a hard time loving the Blake House guys when they come in because you've been so hurt by addictions in your life, by others that had addictions. And so you say, man, I ain't got any mercy for an addict. And God said, I want to teach you a higher level of honor and a higher level of love. Amen. There are probably some people that aren't here today because they don't trust church or they don't trust me. I'm not saying me individually. I'm saying me as a pastor, representative man of God. Because they've been so hurt in church. They've been so hurt by people. And they're like, man, I can't give in to that. I just can't cross that line again and all that because of the pain that it caused and the distrust and all that. And what God wants to do is God wants to come in and God wants to say, let me teach you a higher level of honor. That men will let you down. And men will hurt you. And church will hurt you like any other organization. Any other organization. The Kiwanis Club will and all that. The only problem with them is they're so superficial. And I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying other institutions. Church just goes deeper so the hurt's deeper. But you know where they're going to learn? You know where they're going to learn that higher level of honor? Is by you. When they see it operating in your life and they see it exemplified in you. And that's what breaks the yoke. So that's this journey that we're on. I don't want to stop with just trying to reach the lost. But the thing with this thing is no ceiling, no lid. It just keeps higher and higher. And higher and higher. And I believe David embraced this journey. And that's why God came in, Tiff, and said, this is a man after my own heart. And God saw it beforehand. He told Saul, he said, I found somebody else that's after my heart because you're not. And I'm giving this kingdom to them. He didn't say it was going to be 14 years, but he said, I'm giving it to them. He'd already purposed it in his heart. Let us be that people. Let us be that people. Let us be that people.